Throughout our episode, we've been hearing stories about perseverance, and nothing captures that concept quite like sports does. Natalie V was the only Latina fencer on the U.S. team during the last Olympics. She's an Argentine-American from Arizona, and although she didn't make the team for Rio, she wasn't going to let that dash her dreams. Natalie, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA. You're the first fencer we've ever had on the show.
I am so excited to be here. And by the way, I want all the listeners to know that I'm like a diehard Latino USA fan.
Oh, yeah, we love that. We love that. So, you know, fencing, you didn't grow up with it.
I didn't.
At all. You were dancing.
Yeah. So I was doing dance and gymnastics from probably when I was 3 years old. And I quit, I think, sometime in high school. And so I kind of was missing doing something that was physical.
Why did you quit? I mean, you had dedicated yourself to dance and body and movement, and then all of a sudden you quit?
I kind of felt like I took it as far as it can go. I took care of my brothers and sisters. There were four of us, and my mom was a single mom, and I took care of my brothers and sisters every day after school. But I would take care of them. I would cook for them. I would make sure they did all their homework. I mean, at some point, that just wasn't an option that was available to me.
So you're in high school, and you're reading Catcher in the Rye, and it's actually then that you first hear about fencing, because in the book, Holden Caulfield loses all of the fencing equipment for his school's club.
And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I wonder if there is a fencing club, if there is fencing in Arizona. And so I went online, and Yahoo was the thing back then, and I Yahooed it, and I saw that there were 5 fencing clubs. And I called, and the head coach answered, and he invited me down. And
what did you say? Hey, hi. I've never heard about fencing. I just read about it in a book, but I want to come and see what you're doing.
I just remember when he answered the phone, he had this very deep voice, and he sounded super mysterious. And he said, well, Brophy, which was the all-boys school, and I thought the boys at Brophy were super cute. Well, Brophy has a fencing session tonight. You should come in. And I said, okay. I don't know. I fell in love with fencing. Like, it was really probably the first time I had ever been in love was with fencing. And I put everything into it, you know? And I don't think the people around me, like my friends, didn't really understand it back then.
I have to tell you that, you know, I've been in many emotional interviews, but I don't know if I've ever had anybody actually tear up talking about their love of a sport. What was it that made you fall in love with fencing? Because it's a kind of sport that you look at it and you're like, they've got these weird outfits on and they're wearing a mask and you can't see their face.
The first day I started fencing, I got into my on guard position and I felt like I had done it before. Like, I don't know if it was another life or what. And I remember my coach even saying, like, what are you doing with your backhand? People haven't done that in 100 years. And I go, oh, and I lowered it. But I felt like I was coming back to something. I didn't feel like I was starting something new. And I remember also it was just as physically challenging as it was mentally challenging. And I was really looking for that. I think I was really looking to push myself beyond my boundaries.
You started at 18.
Yeah.
Most of the people in fencing clubs start when they're
like 7, 8 years old, maybe 9, 10, okay. But
so
a lot earlier.
you start when you're 18.
Yeah.
And basically within how many years are you already at, you know, a semi-pro, pro level?
I won my first North American Cup a year and a half after I started fencing. I have kind of an obsessive personality, and when I like something, I take it on and I immerse myself in it and I become whatever it is that I like. And I loved fencing, and I wanted to become a fencer, you know? Like, I even tried sleeping with my weapon because I'm like, oh, well, maybe I can have, like, a special connection. But it didn't really work. Like, I just woke up the next day. I'm like, oh, what's this thing doing next to me? Like, but, you know, I wanted to try everything. And even, you know, people ask me all the time, well, how often do you train? And I think in the first several years, I overtrained in terms of, like, physically overtraining at the gym. And at first it was physical, and I had a lot of things to confront physically. But after a while, it became really emotional, and I was really in my own head. And I had to confront a lot of my own demons to become a better athlete in many ways.
What was going on?
There's a lot to it. Like, when I first started fencing, the physical part was very difficult for me. I was sexually abused until I was 12 years old. And so, it was a secret for a really long time. And when I started fencing, it was like this was this way that I could take control over my body because, you know, I had felt like someone else had taken it. And so those first few years to learn how to control my body, to tell my arm to move at this rhythm or to tell my legs to do this, like that was a big deal to me, you know? And once I was able to overcome those demons, and then I started going further into myself with my fencing, and there were other demons that were there that I had, you know, fear of failure, all types of fears and insecurities. And I knew that, like, to get better at fencing and to start winning, I had to confront those. And I think that's why, for me, fencing has been such a spiritual journey. Because it's allowed me to go so deep within myself.
When you think about being not having control of your body as a young person, and the fencing, you know, it's not like playing football or soccer. I mean, you have potentially what would be
A weapon. We literally call it a weapon.
So was there a part of you that that's like, I actually needed a weapon?
Oh, I never thought about that. Maybe. I mean, I also started in school. I studied sculpture and I was welding and, you know, and I loved it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this feels so powerful. So it could be. I never made that connection. I mean, it's possible. I saw fencing as a game, though. I never saw it as something aggressive. And in fact, I don't fence really well when I'm aggressive or angry. I'm not an angry fencer, you know. And some people are, and they do very well when they're angry. But for me, I fence really well when I'm happy and when I'm balanced.
And you're always, you know, you're incredibly competitive, mostly with yourself.
Totally.
So you want to win.
Yeah, I think that there's something bigger than winning, though. I guess in the moment, I do want to win and I do want to beat the other person. But ultimately, it's not about beating this other person. It's ultimately about confronting myself and my own fears and pushing myself to my boundaries, to my breaking point.
You've been to the Olympics. You were in London.
I was the fourth alternate in London, and I'm the fourth alternate in Rio.
And what does that mean when you're the fourth alternate for the Olympics?
It means that if people get hurt, I would go, but God forbid, hopefully that does not happen to my teammates.
So you actually, the only way you would go is if somebody else loses.
I wouldn't want that to happen though.
So you're not going to go to Rio as we understand right now?
I have the option to go, perhaps as a training partner, but I'm taking the summer off to reset myself and reset my body and just kind of resetting myself for next season.
And next season would be more fencing, you mean?
Yeah, starting in August.
And prepping for what?
For the next 4 years. It's a 4-year plan for Tokyo.
You're already prepping for Tokyo.
Yeah.
And that doesn't freak you out, just thinking like, okay, I've got 4 years to train to get to the Olympics in Tokyo?
No. Why would that freak me out?
I don't know. I guess if you're training that much and then you don't even know if you're going to make it into the team.
That, you know, I don't think that matters, though, even if I don't make it. Because let's say I do make it, Maria, right? And let's say I even win a medal. The most important part of that is everything that came before. And so whether I make it or not, I don't really think that that's relevant. I mean, for a long time, I did think that was relevant. And I was even afraid, like, what if I fail? But I don't think that matters. If I think about failing, that's going to be counterproductive to what I'm doing. You know, that doesn't matter. I think that there's like a larger journey that's more important. And I think that there's something that I'm seeking that goes beyond medals and accolades and titles. Because in the end, I give all my medals to my family. I don't care about that stuff really.
Natalie, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm such a fan.
That was Natalie V from the U.S. fencing team. And after talking to Natalie, who, by the way, is a very spiritual person and a dedicated yoga instructor, I came away thinking about just what it takes to get through the many, many hurdles that life puts in front of us. And it's not just physical strength or endurance, although, yes, both of those things are important. There's also a little bit of stubbornness, a kind of cabeza dura-ness that you need, an unwillingness to give up. Oftentimes, we think of stubbornness as a character flaw. But when it comes to realizing your goals, it might just be the best way forward.